Thank you so much for that. Thank you, all of you, Brother Chris, and all of you coming today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Revelation chapter 15. Revelation 15. We appreciate you coming and worshiping with us today. Remember the war room, the prayer room is open in the back if you just feel led before, during, or after to go and pray. It's open. We'd love for you to utilize that tremendous place that we have for you to go and have some quiet time with the Lord. Today I want to introduce to you a song that come out of Revelation chapter 15. As we look at Revelation 15, we're able to see the light at the end of the tunnel. And it is not a train. Sometimes we feel that way in our life, don't we? It is our great and glorious God we're seeing coming today in Revelation 15. It happens to be the shortest chapter in Revelation. And it's just 8 verses long. It doesn't give us necessarily any new information that we don't see in the other chapters, but it does introduce this beautiful song. It tells us about the judgments of God, and He's going to send down here on the earth, and it is it's a warning to us. It's as if God is saying to you and I, brace yourself. I'm not finished judging the wickedness upon this world, and there's more to come. Revelation essentially is a beginning to the end. It reminds us that there truly is a light at the end of the tunnel, and it's the Lord Jesus. And so in these 8 verses, we're encouraged that to celebrate God's works, God's ways, God's worthiness, and God's worship. This morning I want to focus chapter 15 mainly on 2 verses, verse 3 and verse 4. If you're able to stand, I'm going to ask you to stand as we read those 2 verses. Revelation chapter 15, verse 3 and 4. God's word says, "Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested." Lord, bless your word. In Christ's holy name, amen. Please be seated. In my English class this week, one of the words was encomium. And it means praise. And so we're going to see today a song of praise from Revelation chapter 15. We're told those who were victorious during the Great Tribulation period. And if you remember, it's a time of Jacob's trouble, especially the last 3.5 years, a time that's never been before. Jesus said in Matthew 24, there's never been a time like it, and never will there be a time like it. So it's going to be, we think there's violence and calamity and bloodshed and evil. Today it is chicken feed. It's a drop in the bucket. It's nothing compared to what it's going to be like during the Great Tribulation period. But hallelujah, praise the Lord. Those of us that have trusted the Lord Jesus, that love Him, that follow Him, that He's our boss, He's our master, we're not going to have to endure that. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. We're not going to have to endure it. Now, we deserve to endure it, right? Because we're sinners and we don't do all that we should be doing. However, God doesn't judge us on a scale. God doesn't look at us by our own merit. We have to look at it as He didn't choose us, what I'm trying to say, because He saw that we're going to be some great Christian or we were going to be an evangelist or a missionary. No, He chose us because He's the one that makes the call and He loves you. That's why He chose you. He loves everybody. But ultimately, it's God's call. And so God convicts us, and we said yes. We said we want to marry. You know, we said I do. It's like a marriage. When He knocks on our heart and we surrender to Him, we're not going to have to go through that great tribulation period as many are. But today, Moses sang this song is called the Song of Moses or the Song of the Lamb. It has two different names. One song, and we just read that in those two verses. Those that are singing this song are obviously the 144,000 evangelists that were slaughtered during the Great Tribulation period, and all those that were led to Jesus because of the evangelism during the Great Tribulation period. Those are the ones that are singing this Song of the Lamb, Song of Moses, during the Great Tribulation period. This song actually is a very good tip. It typifies, or is similar, very similar, to the song Moses sang when the children of Israel came across the from Egypt, from the Red Sea on dry land, and they were rejoicing. They were, you know, obviously exuberant, and they began to sing a song. And so, in Exodus chapter 15. So it's very similar in a way. There's a lot of similarities as well. Both of them are rejoicing, one going through the sea and one going through the Great Tribulation period. And so look with me, if you would, this morning. I want to share with you just four little simple key points as we see this tremendous song that's going to be sang, perhaps at the end or right after the end of the Great Tribulation period. Period. First of all, I want you to see, and it says it in the verse there, I want you to see God's marvelous work. It says, great and marvelous, there in the text, are your works. Job says that God does great things, and He is unsearchable, and He is marvelous. He does marvelous things without number. We know that He does because we know the Lord. Many people don't know that. Job knew that God does great things, tremendous things in our life every day. Even if we don't acknowledge them, He does them. Job also says, God thunders marvelously with His voice. He does great things which we cannot comprehend. If we tried to comprehend all the wonderful things God's doing in your life and in our life, we couldn't do it. If you journaled all the things from the time you could first write, then you still would not even be able to comprehend all the things you've done. That is a good thing to do. If you can teach your children or grandchildren to journal the things that God has done in their life, they will remember it much, much better. I wish I would have done that. But God does some marvelous works. We know that. One of the marvelous works God did was dividing the Red Sea in Exodus from Egypt. Another one of His great things He did was designing the human body, our incredible human body. It's amazing. We didn't come from some primordial slime pit, did we? We came from God. God's the one that built us. There is no way we could just happen. All the trillions of cells in our body, all the unique things that our body can do, there is absolutely no way. It takes somebody that is intellectually stupid to believe that we came from some crazy monkey or something else. It's just ridiculous. But we know the Bible says, thinking themselves wise, they became what? Fools. They were so smart, they had so many degrees, they were so intellectual, that they became fools. And that's what we see, obviously. It's been that way all along. But God has done some incredible things. God told Israel, I will make a covenant, and I will do marvels such as not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people will see my works, He told him in Exodus chapter 34. I want you to know that God has done some marvelous works. There is a Christian song that goes, who taught the sun to stand, where to stand in the morning? And who taught the oceans to only go so far? And who showed the moon where to hide till evening? And words alone can catch a falling star. Think of His wonderful works that He's done in this, in our life and in this world. And in every single life, every life. We may have a bad day, but I want you to know, folks, if we would just begin to think of what God is doing and what He's done and how wonderful He is and how He has saved us, how He sent Jesus because He loved us, it's unfathomable. Let me give you number two. We see there in the text God's magnificent ways. It says there, it says, God, your ways are just, and true are your ways, it says there in the text. For those of us that believe, those of us that love the Lord Jesus, this is pretty simple. It's pretty straightforward. It's fundamental to us who believe. The ways of God are fundamental to us because we know Him. We know what His ways are. Do we understand them completely? No. Only God does. But we know God's ways. We know how He thinks, how He works through men, how He works through women, how He works through children, how He works through the church. We know this stuff because we love God. In Exodus chapter 33, Moses had that task of leading the congregation, about 3 million people, through the wilderness and into the land of Canaan. And Moses knew that he was not able to do it. He knew he wasn't fit for the task. You ever think you're not fit for the task? I just can't keep taking care of my children or grandchildren anymore. It's time for them to go on, but they're still around. I just can't do it anymore. I just can't get up. I don't feel like it. I'm not healthy. I can't, whatever it could be in your life. I want you to know, Moses didn't think he was worthy either. He didn't think he could go on leading 3 million people out of slavery that had been in bondage for 400 years. So Moses' prayer is this. Essentially, in Exodus 33, verse 13, here's Moses' prayer. God, if you love me, and if you have called me, and if you have this job for me to do, then God, show me your way, that I may know you. That's what he says. He said, God, please, if you want me to do this, if you want me to get up in the morning, if you want me to keep going when other people aren't going anymore, if you want me to rise above my circumstance, Lord, show me your way. And I love that second part there, that I may know you. Sometimes when you and I get a little bit off track, maybe this is what we need to say. God, show me your way. Because I know if you show me your way, I'll know you better. I'll know you deeper. I'll know you through this circumstance. I may not understand it because I'm not God, but that's okay. As long as I know your way, as long as I know you're in it with me and you're helping me through it, there's something very important about this principle that God showed. We understand His way, that we may know Him more. You can know God's ways, or you can know God's works, but the first one is much more important. His way is much more important than His works. Moses knew God's ways, the Bible says, but Israel only knew God's works. God's ways. I would say we Christians know God. We know God's way. The Jews that hadn't accepted the Messiah, that don't believe the Messiah has come, they only know the works of God. God's ways are infinite. Our ways are finite. God's ways, He knows the end from the beginning. And we only see what's in between. He knows the whys. Why did this happen? Why is my life a wreck? Why is this going on with my children and grandchildren? Why am I involved with this, Lord? He knows the whys. While you and I just continually grasp for answers, that's why we need to trust Him through thick and thin, through all of it, all the time. Not give up. Hang in there. Here, let me give you truth number three that we see in the verse. God's magnanimous, I tried to keep all of them with an M and a W, magnanimous worthiness. Notice what it says in the text there. It says, who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. You are worthy. You're holy. We know that the scriptures teach that God's going to vindicate justice on this earth by the second coming of Christ. All of the atrocities, all the evil, all the people that want to go against the Lord Jesus, they're going to face Him. And so this is why He deserves glory from all of His creatures. He deserves glory from everyone. We are His children, those of us that have trusted Him. But everybody is His creature. And everyone. And so He deserves glory from everyone. Not just us that are His children. This song here is about God's power and God's justice. Because He is to be feared. Noah built the ark, the Bible says. Out of godly fear. Can you imagine? God tells you it hadn't rained. God tells you before, and God tells you to build an ark, build a boat. 120 years is what it takes. 120 years now. Long time. 1 year would be long enough for most of us, wouldn't it? 120. And so what's going to motivate you to keep building that ark? What's going to motivate you from keep sawing wood and hammering and figuring out what God wants and all of that, planning and building? I'll tell you what's going to motivate you. If you love the Lord, sometimes fear is going to motivate you. And that's what motivated Noah. It's okay to fear the Lord. Amen? Amen? We have these soft preachers that say, oh, don't really fear the Lord. That's not really what it means. Yes, it is. God wants us to fear Him above anybody else. I'm telling you, folks, God can snuff our life out just like that if He wants to, can He? If He can send Jesus to die on the cross for our sins because He loved us, then He can do whatever He wants to us. Amen? God's worthiness. The Bible tells us that Job feared God. Job chapter 1 tells us that. Abraham feared God in Genesis 22. And Psalms 25 tells us this. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear Him. You want to be God's friend? You want to be the person that God looks at you as a dear friend? We know Jesus says, call me friend. It's not those people that say, ah, that's not healthy to have a fear of the Lord. Yes, it is. Because it's the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of understanding. It's the beginning of knowing what God's way is. It is very, very biblical for you to fear the Lord. Because He can do whatever He wants to do. Daniel says that. And Psalm says that too. He's God. He sits on His high throne. He can do whatever He wants to do. He's provided salvation for us. We have to receive it. We have to accept it. But He's provided for us. He can do what He wants to do. God's magnanimous worthiness. God is worthy, friends. In the beautiful hymn that we sing sometimes, worthy of worship. Here's what it says. Worthy of worship. Worthy of praise. Worthy of honor and glory. Worthy of all the glad songs we can sing. Worthy of all the offerings we bring. You are worthy, Father, Creator. You are worthy, Savior, Sustainer. You are worthy, worthy and wonderful. Worthy of worship and praise. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
God's worthiness. Let me give you the last one. God's momentous worship. Look at what it says with me. It says, for all, in Revelation 15, verse 3 and 4, for all the nations shall come and worship before you. You know, I love the true meaning here. Throughout this entire song, we see the very personal pronouns. You see you and your. You and your. You and your is what God is saying. There throughout the whole thing, He is very, very personal. God is. These martyrs, the ones that were killed during the Great Tribulation period, are focused on one thing, and that's their personal God, the one that we serve as well. They don't even focus on their own victory, even though they have come through an enormous tribulation period. They have the heart of worship. I don't know if I have it on your screen. I don't. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 says, therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence, with fear, and awe. For our God is a consuming fire, is what it says there in Hebrews 12, 28 and 29. So here's the question today. As you think about two directions in life that we can go when we die, do you believe in His marvelous works? Are His magnificent ways fundamental to you because you love Him and you bow down to Him on a regular basis? Do you fear God more than anything or anyone else? The fear of God is a great thing. And is He who you worship? Not just today, not just on a Sunday, but on a Friday night and a Saturday night and a Thursday night, and all the days of the week. What a great song that they're singing during the Great Tribulation period. And we know we're going to be singing one day in heaven. We're going to be singing, holy, holy, holy. Because He is worthy of our praise. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I ask, Lord, that You just illuminate, Lord, upon the hearts of men and women, boys and girls today, Lord, where they are, Lord, if they've gotten off track, may they repent of that and come back, Lord, and get back where they need to be in Your Word, in Your mindset, in loving You and in fearing You. Lord, for those who just need to make some type of decision, Lord, maybe it's to follow through in believer's baptism or be a part of this church, Lord, I pray that You would convict them, Father, today of that. And especially, Lord, for those who are struggling with where they're going, whether it's heaven or hell, Lord, when they lay their head down at night, they're just anxious. They have anxiety over when they think about that they're not ready, Father. Lord, if that's someone or several, Lord, that are dealing with that, may right where they sit, may they trust You, Lord. May they repent of their sins and they cry out to You for salvation and ask You to save them. Lord, we love You and I just thank You, Lord, for Your mercy and Your grace. Lord, have Your way with our remaining moments. And may Your people be receptive and obedient to You. That's what You desire. In Christ's holy name, amen.